Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I think I can do it. Well, thank you all for coming out again on a Monday night. That says a lot about you. And I just want to say I am really, really excited about this word. It's going to be hopefully helpful to you in your everyday life. And also, I just want to say thank you to all the ladies that helped me. The table obviously looks beautiful. Again, thanks to Rochelle. And just her giftings. She is so good at that. Just so impressive and just set such a nice atmosphere. So thank you for doing that. Grace, thank you for helping your mother. You did a great job doing that. Okay. So also thank you to my setup ladies that helped vacuum and set things out. It really, things like that make a difference. It really does. And one of my favorite scriptures is where Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So Jesus puts faithfulness pretty high up there on the list, if that's what he says to those who are at the gate. Well done, good and faithful servant. So faithfulness is big, but that's not what I want to talk about tonight. I want to pray, and then I'm going to just speed right into this. We've got about 30 minutes. I'm not going to hold you longer than that. So, Father, I thank you that we get to come into your house. God, I thank you that we get to meet together to learn about you. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. God, I pray good ground over all of us, Lord, that this seed would not return void. And you said it won't. The word that goes forth out of your mouth, it will not return to you void. And I pray that today would be a day that we could set on our calendars that marks a difference, a change that takes place in our lives, something that we've been seeking after, something that we've been needing. God, that a shift would take place in the atmosphere, a shift would take place inside of us, something that maybe we've been struggling with in our personality, a weakness. God, I pray for a shifting to take place tonight in our spirit, in our soul, and even in our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you about something interesting tonight. As I was praying and getting ready, it's a Monday. And so just thinking about Mondays, you know, a lot of people have a negative viewpoint of Mondays. And I find that very interesting. And so speaking of that, I just want to encourage you to take a different outlook and perspective on Mondays. But here's part of the problem is we tend to have a worldly perspective about everything. Not on purpose. It's unintentional. We'll be on Facebook and somebody will say something like, "I've got the Mondays." And we're like, "Oh yeah, I've got the Mondays too." You know, but that's not scriptural. And so I'm hoping to bring a shift into us. And maybe Monday isn't the day you dread. Maybe it's Tuesday. Maybe it's Wednesday. Maybe it's Thursday. Maybe it's Friday. Maybe it's Saturday. Hopefully it's not Sunday. Hopefully that's the day you get, you know, perked up, get refueled, all those things. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Y'all, this scripture is so exciting. We know it, but we're going to dig a little bit deeper into it. Here is the Hebrew definition of rejoice. Now, y'all are going to probably hear me a good bit, so I just want to go ahead and let you know. I love definitions. I love the Strong's Concordance. I love looking up Hebrew and Greek definitions because I want to get to the root. What is God actually saying in this scripture? Yes, I've heard this scripture, but what does he mean? How can I apply it? I do not want to just read this book. I want it to be activated to where it's making a difference. So here's what rejoice means. Okay, y'all get ready. It means to spin around, under the influence of any violent emotion. Usually rejoice. Now this one might sound strange. I'll explain it later. Or as cringing fear. Be glad, joy, be joyful, rejoice. Okay. Remember what we're talking about. This is the day the Lord has made. We will spin around under the influence, whew, I'm dizzy, I get motion sick. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So here's the shift that can begin to take place. This is one of your steps. It's in your quiet time. When you get up in the morning. Listen, you're not going to be cool. You're not going to look cool. Even as we heard at the night of worship. You know, there's so much that I'm going to unpack from this scripture that God gave me that I'm seeing that Christianity is something different than I've been doing. That there's a shifting, that it's not supposed to be all tidy and neat. God means for it to be life-changing. And I've been asking myself over the years, God, why are mothers so miserable? God, why are women so unhappy? It's because we're not doing it God's way, because the fruit of the womb is a reward. A reward is exciting. It's a fun. It's like, yes, thank you, Jesus, I got a reward. And so I'm encouraging you in this first step. When you get up, you're going to feel silly, but that's going to start your day out good. You're going to feel so goofy, you're going to smile at yourself. You're going to laugh at yourself, but you're starting your day out differently. And so don't follow the world's perspective of, I've got the Mondays, I hate this day, I dread this day, I don't want to live this day. If you got problems, you're going to. We live in a fallen world. The devil is the prince of the power of this air. And that's the thing, is we're following the prince of the power of the air that says, hate Mondays. Or like a Fleetwood Mac song says, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Well, that's unscriptural. Today has enough trouble of its own. But we're following these powers in the air, waves, that are telling us unscriptural things. Facebook, oh, we just laugh at it. Like, haha, share. And it's like, no, you're missing. This is your day. This is part of your journey. We're always, as women, we're planning. We're trying to get ahead. We want to get to this point. But you're living your life right now. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss where you're at in your journey, to the point where you look and it's been 10 years because you've been looking out here, looking. And I'm not saying don't have vision. Write the vision down. Make it plain so that he who runs can run and read it. But rejoice in this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will spin around with crazy emotion. You see what I'm saying? I look silly. And you're going to feel silly, but you're going to laugh. And you're starting your day out with rejoicing. Don't get caught up in the world's perspective. The world gives us we take on so much of the world's perspective, where it's parenting, being a woman, what you do in the workforce, pregnancy. Oh, if you're pregnant, it's going to be awful. It's going to be horrible. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. All these negative. And I'm not saying that these things that I just mentioned don't have problems with them. But let's take God's word as our perspective and practically apply it. And here's the second problem as women. We tend to be led by our emotions. If you wait until you wake up to decide what your morning's going to look like tomorrow, and you have to get up at 6 a.m. or 6:30, or you have a child that woke up and was throwing up, whatever it may be, you have got to decide, no, I don't follow my emotions. You get up and you dance on your emotions. Because your emotions, if you're a mom, if you're a student, if you're in the workforce, whatever it may be, you're going to face difficulties. You're going to have to wear a face mask. You're going to be frustrated about something. Problems are going to arise. Things that you may have to confront tomorrow. But you get to choose. This is the day the Lord has made. Not my emotions. This is the day the Lord has made. I will get up. I will spin around before the Lord, because this is the day that He has made. And I'm going to spin around in it. See, this is the thing. It's changing your perspective. I don't want this to be something that you're just listening to right now. I really don't. Believe me, you may think this is the craziest thing, but I want you to get it, because I want your life to change. I want a shifting to take place. I want you to begin to teach your children this, that, hey, this is the day that God has made, especially if you have daughters. It doesn't matter if you're PMSing. It doesn't matter what's going on with your day. It doesn't matter what's ahead of you. Get up and spin before the Lord. You don't have to do it with the whole family if you don't want to. Take your time. Do it by yourself. Do it before you jump in the shower. Whatever. Just be careful if you're in the bathroom. Carpet might be good in case you get dizzy. But I really want this to bring a shift, because I'm like, God, why is there this constant struggle? It's because we're not following His steps, His word, the things that He put here that says, if you'll do this, it's going to change the way you're starting your day. If you're starting your day off in a bad mood, in a bad attitude, most likely it's not going to get better unless you start praying in the Spirit or you get yourself together. But don't decide how I'm feeling. That's how my day's going to go, is how I'm feeling. No, that makes feelings your God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Okay, let's keep going with our definition. So it says, this is the day the Lord has made. So here's what we're rejoicing in. We're not rejoicing in anything. We're not rejoicing in problems. Here's what we're rejoicing in what God has made. Here's what He made. This is what made means in Hebrew. To do, to make, to accomplish, to advance, to appoint, to become. And there's so many. I only did a few. Charge of, governed, prepared, sacrifice, be warrior, yield. So we rejoice, we spin around and are glad simply because God prepared a day. Doesn't that change your perspective? We have so much built on everything else. If this happens today, if everything lines up today, if everything goes perfectly today, those things, they're sand. They're going to crumble because we live in a fallen world where things aren't always perfect. The cashier might be rude to you. Somebody might tell you to pull your face mask up over your nose and you're like, I already got the thing on my mouth. But you know what? You're not rejoicing in that. You're rejoicing just simply because God made another day. That seems so like, are you kidding me right now? Like, that's what I'm supposed to be rejoicing in. Yes, because you're deciding that with my life, I'm taking stock in the Word of God. The Word of God is more important to me than what I get, what I don't get, what happens, how the children do, how my husband does, how my friend does, how my coworker does. I'm rejoicing simply because God made. We're so far from that. That is why the United States, and I can only speak from that because that's where I live, is so depressed, is so downcast. Even in the church, where is the joy? The joy is lacking. Why do so many Christians not have strength? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, but the strength is lacking because we don't put our stock in the Word of God. David, I think it was David, it was Psalm, it says, your word to me is better than 10,000s of gold and of silver. Ask yourself, is the Word of God like that for me? Is it better to me than if 10,000s of gold and silver were here and a Bible were here and God said, which one? What would we say? I'm not condemning you. Only you can answer that. And hopefully I'm hoping that you will say, you know what? I'm not there yet. Not I'm hoping that you will say that, but I'm hoping if you do say that, you'll say, okay, it's time for a change. This is maybe a wake up call for some of us. Maybe it's new conversion or a fresh commitment to the Lord, a fresh commitment to His Word. Maybe the Word of God's gotten boring to you. Maybe it doesn't feel as alive as it used to. Then I'm hoping that this will charge you to change your perspective, to go, you know what? I've been putting stock in my emotions. I've been putting stock in my circumstances. But I'm going to change that. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to spin around rejoicing because God made another day. I mean, that's just like, it's so elementary. It doesn't sound true, but it is. And so you're going to start out with that because God made. So we're rejoiced and we're glad simply because another day. But we also choose to rejoice. See, it's not about emotions. It's kind of like forgiveness. If you wait till you feel like forgiving, you won't. People have done you wrong. Some of you may have things in your life, in your past, that you still haven't dealt with. You have to choose to forgive. Jesus died on the cross choosing to forgive us. Guess what? Before anyone asked His forgiveness. Some of us were like, well, I'll start treating them right once they ask my forgiveness. That's not that. Listen, you are a prisoner in your own body because you are held captive by your bitterness and you're defiling many. When you are bitter, you defile everyone around you. because your attitude, it springs forth and it defiles many. So choose to rejoice. This is what that means. I am submitting to the Word of God and what it commands me, not what I feel or how I feel when I wake up. If you wait till you wake up to decide what mood you're going to be in, you're going to have a moody day because you're a woman. And you'll be like this. But the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. It also says, keep your heart, guard your heart. Don't just let anything in or out. That means don't just, oh, whatever comes my way. No, guard your heart. Keep a watch over your heart. One of the definitions of keep your heart with all diligence, diligence actually means watch. Watch, guard. Be a prison. Don't let things just come in and come out. But guard your heart. Don't let your emotions be your God. If we're led by how we feel, we're not being led by His Spirit. Another thing, part of rejoicing is cringing with fear. And this, I feel like, is one of the biggest aspects that are missing from the modern church. Now, what do I mean by that? Cringing with fear. It's fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is part of rejoicing. Do you know why? Because when you have that reverence for His Word and for Him, you will submit to Him. Here's a scripture. Proverbs 8:13. It says that, let me actually read the whole thing because I'm just going to, I only have half of it right here. Oh. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. So it's like this. Did you know that it's evil to think, to speak, to believe, and act in opposition to God and His Word? But we justify ourselves if we're grumbling, if we're complaining, if we're beating ourselves down. Some people think that they are doing right by being mean to themselves and thinking negatively about themselves all day long. I'm a failure. I'm not any good. I'm not good at this. I never do anything right. And just constantly, see, some people take that as like they're being righteous because they don't have confidence. It's this weird thing that the enemy does and plays in our mind. But I encourage you right now, if you are one of those people, that is not God's will for you. It is not what He is saying to you. It is not what He has said about you or what He is saying over you. And I encourage you, do not waste another thought on that kind of thinking. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. He created you for His glory, for His honor, for His purpose. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are you're His treasure. The Bible says that you are the apple of His eye, which means this: He cannot get away from looking at you. You may feel under honored or not honored. You may not feel looked upon. You may feel forgotten. You may feel like a floor mat. You are not. You are God's special treasure. That's what God, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, He could have just destroyed the whole thing and been just. But it's us He wants. He wants you, every single lady in this room. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody in here has been mean to yourself. And God is saying, stop talking about my creation like that. You do not have the right to beat my creation down like that. And you may think you're being kind of bossy right now. Well, I am, because I don't want you living under that anymore. And neither does God, because you can't fulfill your purpose. You can't fulfill your purpose at work. You can't fulfill your purpose with your children, because who you are is what you will give. My mother-in-law always says this: you can only reproduce who you are. If you're mean to you, you're going to be mean to everybody else. And some of them, now if it's your family, usually you will be vocal, but if it's at work, it may be inside, but then you're just miserable. Stop beating yourself down. I encourage you, put your stock in the Word of God. Find out, who does He say that I am? Going back to the fear of the Lord. When we're facing a day, complaining, all those things, let's not do that. Let's choose to fear God so much that we're going to wake up spinning. See, that's the thing in the church is we were like fear of the Lord with being mean and judgmental and harsh. That's not what it is. The fear of the Lord to hate evil is so that we can get closer to Him. Because if you don't reverence Him, if you don't respect Him, there is a very, very small limit of how close you're going to get to God. Because He is a holy God. He says, I am the Lord. I do not change. So come before Him with fear and with reverence for your benefit. Not because He wants to keep you on a leash, but because He loves you so much. He wants you to walk in your destiny. He wants you to fulfill everything that He has for you. It's not so that He can be like staunch and harsh and mean. That's not Him at all. It says He's a loving Father. He's slow to become angry. He's gracious and full of compassion. So the fear of the Lord is for our benefit, so that we will reverence, we'll come before Him as before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not as, because He is. We come before Him with that reverence so that we can draw near to Him, so that we can get closer to Him, so that we begin to look more like His image, and we begin to look more like Jesus, and we get up and we rejoice and we spin around before Him because we fear His word so much, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so we get up and we rejoice because we fear Him. Now, do those things usually sound like they go together? No. But that's what I'm saying. God is wanting to bring a shift in us and how we see Him and how we think of like, oh, because I fear God, I'm going to obey this that says rejoice. It's not Christianity to be woe is me all the time. But that's what has been taught, is just beat yourself down. Be woe is me. Be downcast. Be full of poverty. But that's not God. God is saying, I want you to prosper. And not just, it's even in the New Testament. He says, I would that you would prosper in spirit, in soul, and in body, and everything you do. Think about your children. Think about your family. What do you want for them? Do you want them to struggle? Do you want them to be full of poverty? Do you want them to be downcast? How much more? Him, He says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Y'all are looking at me like, I think you might be crazy. I am, because I'm passionate for God and I'm passionate for you, and I want your lives to change. Because this is just, it's amazing that He is drawing us into the, He wants us to be full of rejoicing for our benefit, but for others' benefit. One day the Lord spoke to me when I was carrying a lot, carrying a weight, and I was worrying, and He said, your children need more from you than that. I said, you're right. You're right. I'm going to deal with this. I'm not going to be like that. And your children, your husbands, your spouses, you, God, needs more from you than for you to not be full of rejoicing. It's for your benefit. Now, am I saying I want you to conjure up? No, I'm saying start your day out spinning and rejoicing before the Lord, and you won't have to conjure it up, because you have decided, I am going to rejoice before the Lord. It doesn't matter how I wake up. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what my day presents. Because here's the thing. You're dancing on the enemy. You get up and you say, flesh, come into subjection. Even Lyndall Cooley was talking about it at the night of worship we had. He was saying, you know, he was talking about his body. I have to tell my body when I come in here that I'm here to worship. And I can't remember everything he said, but this goes in perfectly with what he was demonstrating. Because when we get up, we get to choose who's going to rule the day. My flesh, my emotions, or the Lord. And so if you have problems upcoming, you get up and you rejoice before the Lord, and I can guarantee you things are going to go a lot differently. But we have to choose to rejoice. And here's the thing about the fear of the Lord. It's a choice. And I'm going to give you a scripture for that. It's Proverbs 1:29. You get to choose whether or not you hate evil. Well, what is evil? You got to get in the Word and you got to find out and let it sink into your soul so that when you encounter, you can discern. And I'm going to, you know, I'll mention this later, but I do want to mention something to people who maybe have a call of intercession on you, because intercessors tend to be mopey, because they come in, they see, they feel, and they're like, what am I supposed to do with all these things? Now, if you're not an intercessor, this seems really weird, but they come in and they're like, oh, I'm seeing this and I'm feeling this and, oh God, Okay, that's what intercessors usually do. They're doing it internally. They may not do it where you can see, but they just, the emotion. Oh my goodness, Lord help me. Okay, some of you are like, I'm not an intercessor. I don't know what you're talking about. You're weird. Okay, intercessors are very feely, so I'm just saying that. And intercessors, if you are one, you have to control your feelings. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It also says this in Proverbs 25:28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If you cannot control yourself, you are like a city without protection. You can't go by your feelings. There was a story in the Old Testament where the dad, he had two sons. One was hairy, one was smooth. They came in, Jacob wanted to trick his father to get the blessing. He put hair on him. Guess what? The father, Isaac, he felt him. Guess what? It felt like the son he was supposed to bless. Guess what? He was wrong. You can't go by your feelings, intercessors especially. You have got to bring your feelings into subjection. Here's an example. On Sunday morning, I felt an unction from the Lord. I got two. One was an unction for intercession that no one needed to know about. The second one was the unction that I shared. But the first one, it wasn't time. It wasn't needed. It was something that needed to be prayed through, something that God gave me a vision of someone in the service and something they were going through and something they needed to do. And I could have been like, oh, I'm going to. But they might not have been able to handle that. They might have felt pointed out. And so it was something that God said, intercede for that, say that. And so as intercessors, if you are an intercessor, and most women, usually a lot of women are, that's something that you have to learn and let God to develop your discernment to discern, what do I do with this? And ask the Lord. Don't just, if you're feeling high on emotion, don't just go by what you're feeling. Weigh through it. Take your time. You don't have to just speedy Gonzales it. I hope that makes sense. I know I was kind of going on to the intercessors there. Speaking of intercession, I do want to talk about that a little bit more. We're going to start that upcoming soon. Okay, choose the fear of the Lord. Did I read that yet? I don't think so. Proverbs 1:29, it says, since they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? The fear of the Lord is a choice. There's so much about choosing. I think we just think so many things are just going to fall in our lap. They're just going to take place. But a lot of it is choice because God gave us a will. So that makes sense. Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's rejoicing, whether it's the fear of the Lord. Okay, let's keep moving through this verse. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Here's what be glad in it means. It means, I'm not sure if that's blith or blithe. Gleeful or full of glee. Be glad, joyful, making merry hearted, rejoicing. So here's what that means. I will be full of glee in it. In this day that who made? God made. I didn't make it. The devil didn't make it. Your enemy didn't make it. God made it. So we get to choose to be full of glee and fear him so much, reverence his word so much that here's three things. We choose to spin around. We choose to fear him and be full of glee in what God has made. Here's what I would say. My emotions will submit to his spirit and his word. And I'm doing it first thing in the morning. And I would encourage you to do the same. And at bedtime, because your night sets your days. Have you ever gone to bed mad, sad, frustrated, anxious? And if you're a dreamer, what happens to your dreams? Then you're dreaming it. So then it's even worse because you're like dreaming anxiously. And then when you wake up, what? You're in a bad mood. Because you've been tussling, you've been frustrated, or you cried yourself to sleep. You're going to wake up bad because you started your day with your sleep. So here's what I would say. If you're waking up on the wrong side of the bed, let's not do that anymore. Here's a psalm. It says, it's Psalm 63. And I'm actually going to read a good bit of that. Let me see how much more I have left. Oh, goodness. Okay, I think I can get through this. Psalm 63. I hope this is making sense to you. I know it's different. Psalm 63. This is talking about your nighttime. Okay. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. Now, you could just preach on that for a while. Thus, I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Here's what I want to get to. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Here's what I want to just read you a little bit of what this study Bible says about that. From his bed, David continues to fix his thoughts on God. Night watches. The Israelites counted three watches to the night. Evidently, David is having difficulty sleeping, and he directs his thoughts to worship. Meditate means to speak about the things of God or to fill one's mind with the knowledge of God. So I want to encourage you on your bed, if you're tossing and you're turning, to begin to meditate on the Lord at night. Maybe that's something that you don't do yet. Don't beat yourself up and don't overdo it. I have a friend that he's like, Madison, I'm going to start running every single morning at 6 a.m. And I'm like, have you been doing anything yet? No. I'm like, can I offer you some wisdom? Start out slow. Why don't you start walking in the afternoon? Then start running in the afternoon. Then maybe add, 7 in the morning. Don't just go cold turkey on yourself. Like, you're gonna discourage yourself. Start this way and build yourself up. Anyway, so meditate on the Lord in your night. But here's something that is very exciting. Is Psalm 149, 5. And I'm getting ready to close with this. Psalm 149, 5. This is what it says. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Hold on, I'm sorry, I messed my page up. Let them sing aloud on their beds. That is so good, but I'm about to give you a definition. It's going to get better. So let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud where? On their beds. Okay, here, y'all, this is so good. Here's what sing means in Hebrew. To creak or emit a stridulous sound. To shout, usually for joy. To cry out, be joyful, make to rejoice. Calls to sing aloud. Calls to sing out to triumph. Do you know what that tells me? Is that God wants to give you some victories on your bed. Isn't that a weird thought? There's so much tonight. I'm just like, wow, God, this is amazing. This is a shifting in our lives, because you're talking about in the morning, we're getting up, we're spinning around, we fear you so much that no matter how we feel, we're going to rejoice before you. But then you're saying, on my bed, you want me to creak, to let out this loud sound, to shout, to rejoice, to sing on my bed, to triumph. He wants you to triumph on your bed. He has victories for you reserved in your bed. And I think that's part of the problem, is we're not getting some of our victories because we're not singing out on our bed. I know that sounds goofy. It sounds weird. But that's just how God's ways are totally different from how the world does things. The enemy wants to turn the bed into a bad thing, into a dirty thing, or to a frustrating thing. But God is saying, no, I want you to go to bed singing. You know what that means? Is that in the sandwich, you might have a bad sandwich in the middle. You might get some bad turkey meat in the middle of your sandwich. You might wake up spinning, but you get to that middle of the day, you get to that lunchtime, you get to that turkey part. Because you got the bread, you got the turkey, you got the bread. But guess what? You might have had a bad day, but when you get to that other piece of bread, you're like, you know what? My day stunk. It was hard. I was frustrated, but I made it through. God is good. I'm about to sing on my bed. I know I can't sing. Everybody else in my family knows I can't sing. But I told Spencer, I'm like, we're starting a new habit with the children. We're going to sing aloud on our beds. And you know what that does for your family? You're helping them start their day off good. When they woke up in the morning, they went to bed singing. They didn't go to bed scared. They didn't go to bed frustrated. You didn't go to bed mad at each other. And I encourage you wives to begin to do this with your spouse. Like, if y'all been mad at each other, say, honey, I want to start a new routine. I'm just asking you that we would begin to sing on our bed together. And you know what that's going to do? You might be mad at each other, but you've established something new in your home that says, no, we're going to give this day back to God. He gave it to us. We're going to finish it with God. We're going to sing. It doesn't matter if it's this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then you just let out a woo! You know, you see what it does. Y'all all laughed. And you're going to do that in your bed. God wants to infuse you with joy. He wants to infuse you with rejoicing. He wants to empower His bride again. He doesn't want His bride being sour and all this walking around and mad and frustrated and downcast. Do you think He wants that kind of life for you? I can guarantee you He doesn't. He wants you walking around a beautiful bride, a glorious bride that when you walk in somewhere, you started your sandwich off. You've got it going on. You might have had a hard time, but you're like, you know what? I rejoiced in the Lord. I dance before the Lord. When I get home, you know what? It's been bad. It's been frustrating. But when I get home, I'm going to sing on my bed with my husband. I'm going to sing on the bed with my child. I'm going to sing on the bed by myself. It doesn't matter what's going on because I started this day rejoicing before God. It stank today, but I'm about to sing before God. I'm about to shout myself to glory because you are then saying, you know what? Day, you don't rule it. God rules you. And God, you rule me. And I'm not going to let this have dominion over me. It may have been a hard day. But do you think that you go into bed worrying and frustrated is going to help your next day? His mercies are new every morning. You're right. But He wants His bride waking up, ready to rejoice. Because then, who can resist a bride? Have you ever noticed that? Every woman is most beautiful on her wedding day. There's just something about a bride. And that's what He wants for you every single day. He doesn't want you struggling and frustrated. Am I saying you're not going to have problems? Absolutely not. I'm saying you're going to get up spinning. You're going to put on your military boots ready for action with your sword of the Spirit ready to fight. And it might be hard. It's going to be. But you're going to go to bed singing. And I'm encouraging you, don't let this message slip you by. God is wanting to change your life. Maybe your marriage. Maybe your family. Maybe teens. Maybe your school day. Who does this? You see what I'm saying? Exactly. Who should be doing this? His bride. We should be doing this. And we get to start something new because God is wanting to bring a shift into our, not to everyday life. He's wanting to shift our everyday life to where it's not just Sunday and Wednesday or when we have this on the first Monday of the month. He's wanting your everyday life to shift as we begin to rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that funny? We know that pretty much everybody probably knows that scripture. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, let's begin to activate that scripture. And let's begin to, let's see, what is it again? I think I actually wrote down the definition of that weird word. Stridulous, making a shrill, which I did. So make a shrill. Is it weird? Yeah. Do you want things to change? You may have a great house, a great marriage, a great family. Everything might be just wonderful. But you're supposed to go from glory to glory and grace to grace. Let's not get stuck. Let's not be boring. Let's go on and grow deeper and get closer to God to where let me tell you something. You begin to single out on your bed and begin to shout before God on your bed. You think He's going to take notice? You just invited Him into your bedtime. I'm telling you, you may not even be a dreamer, and God might start giving you dreams. You may not have ever had a vision. God might start giving you visions. You may have never heard the voice of the Lord. Your ear may begin to be in tune to where you actually begin to hear the Spirit of God for yourself. You might have giftings that have been silent. Listen, I'm telling you, I feel this unction, and I'm going right back to it, is God wants to give you victories on your bed. That's weird. That's unusual. I've never heard anybody else say it either. God wants to give you victories on your bed. And it just, are you going to do it? You know, it's like, yeah, that sounds okay. That, wow, that's a good word. Activation. You get to choose. Am I going to activate? This isn't Madison DeVries. This is the Word of God. I literally just read you a scripture and gave you the definition of it. This is not me trying to get y'all to act crazy. Okay? This is me trying to, by the Word of God, empower you, because I want you to see victories on your bed. See, that's funny. We think we got to work for it. And I'm going to close with that. I'm about to close with that, is we are so used to striving and trying, and we've got to do this and we've got to do that. But God's saying, why don't you single out on your bed? Because I've got some triumphs for you. You probably, probably not many people doing that, I would just have to guess. But I encourage you, let the Word of God begin to change how you do every single day of your life. It'll change you. It'll change your family. It'll change your coworkers. It'll change everyone that you interact with, because you're going to start off different. You're starting off with God. You're starting off with Him and saying, you know what? God made another day. I'm pretty happy about that. Anyway, I hope that you are able and willing to apply this message. I believe it's going to change our life. It's going to shift the atmosphere of not only your home, of this church. It really will. It really will. Because people are going to wonder, what are you doing? Who are you? And what did you do with my friend, my mom, my grandmother, my coworker? Like, you will begin to shift the atmosphere. That's the thing about women, is you are atmosphere setters. My mother-in-law always taught me this. You get to choose what happens when you walk in. What are you going to be? What are you bringing? Are you bringing love? Are you bringing warmth? Or does the room get brighter or darker when you leave? We get to choose. It's really, the enemy makes us think it's so far off. It really comes down to, what are we going to choose to do? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. God, I thank you for your word that wants to, longs to, will empower us, will change us, will transform us, God. And I pray over these women and over their homes and over their jobs and everything that they put their hands to, God, that things will begin to shift. God, things will begin to improve. Things will begin to get better, begin to get stronger. God, I pray that you would infuse us with your joy, infuse us with the fear of the Lord that will cause us to rejoice even more. God, I pray a drawing over your women, that we would draw nigh to you and you will draw near to us, God. Do a shifting in the atmosphere of everything that we do, everything that we put our hand to, God, because of you, not because of anything else, not because of selfish gain or vanity, but because of God, that we wake up our days not because of this, because of that, but we wake up because of God and because you gave us a new day. And I pray, Lord, let this seed produce a 100-fold return in each of our lives, Lord. And I pray your protection over your bride as we go tonight. And I thank you for every single woman. I do pray that a shifting would take place over those that have been beating themselves down, that they would stop that they would change their thoughts, they would replace it with the Word of God that says what you think, that says who you said that they are, Lord. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll lift your hands and receive this blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord write his name upon you. May the Lord grant you his peace. Shalom, shalom, driving back all chaos in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are released. Thank you again for coming. I hope you all have a great week.